God I serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God I serve. Oh, what a mighty God I serve. What a mighty God I serve. Yes, angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God. One more time. So what a mighty God I serve. What a mighty God I serve. Yes, angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God I serve. Amen. God bless you guys. Good to be back in the house again.
Yes.
He is so worthy.
Amen.
You know, I was talking to Brother John and Sister Dawn about this little podcast I saw the other day, and you know, it was talking about these 20,000 people in China just trying to worship God, and they all went to jail. And there was a guy that was interviewing this lady that was one of the people that got, you know, arrested and went to jail, and he was talking to her. He was a preacher, and he was talking to her about, you know, how were they even able to read the Bible in there, because they were confiscating everything in that prison. And so she said they would have to write the scriptures. They would get little pieces of paper with the scriptures on it, and that would get confiscated as well. And so they had to hurry up and remember it. And they said, well, how do you remember all the scriptures? She said, because it's written on the table of my heart,
right?
You know, and that's where it can never be taken away.
That's right.
It's got to be written. Because when Jesus spoke, he said, it is written. He told Satan, it's written. And it's written right here. And so, long story short, you know, the lady was like, you know, when you get back to America, can you please just keep us in your prayers? You know, because we just want to be like you guys, free and able to praise God, you know? And it touched me so much, because the preacher was like, no, you know, if the church or the service is like more than 90 minutes away, people just don't come. Where I'm from, when people, you know, if the service is too long, they just end up walking out. No respect, no love for the truth, no love for the word of God. And you got people over here going to jail. You know, just like Brother Moore said, he said, there's people out there that want to serve God, that will give whatever they need to give to serve God, and cannot. And then I look at us. I look at myself. You guys are much better than I am. But I look at myself and I'm like, what? I don't want to go a service without getting up and just identifying, because God's been too good. You know, he's given us the word for the hour, not just any old word. This thing was hidden for so long, and he wanted to get off that throne and just manifest this moment right here. This moment where it's a silence in heaven for a space of a half an hour. This is our time. This front part of the service belongs to the body. So just think about how much freedom that you guys have, that we all have, to be able to come in here after what we got to deal with out there, to just drop everything and come in here and just worship and praise and testify and get out of the way and just let him have it and let him be God. If God be God, serve him. God bless you, sister.
Inspiring. I thank you for sharing that. I just want to say I identify with this word too. I had a preach, you know, two weeks ago, maybe, saying you have to identify with something. Well, I identify with this body and with this word, and I know I came from God, and I'm going back to God, and I can receive what he wants me to receive.
Yes.
I know I'm going to tonight. I'm going to be blessed by hearing the God's word again, and I'll be blessed every time I come. I just praise God for everything he is to me and everything he does for me.
Amen.
Can't praise him enough.
God bless you, Sister Sue. God bless you, Sister Jen.
Oh,
you may be seated.
Amen. Just glad to be here one more time.
everything that was said by Isaiah, I was thinking too, so that one accord. Amen. I love it.
Amen. 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 Let me get the announcements out of the way here. So first crochet class is September 17th at 6 p.m. And then we have the bonfire at Andrew and Caleb's on the 29th. And then also music practice September 21st, 7 p.m. For all musicians.
That's with the kids.
Oh, for the kids? Yeah. Okay, okay. Tomorrow's for the kids. Regular Tomorrow's regular musicians practice for all you musicians. And
you know that when it's written on tables of your heart, they call that a revelation.
Amen. Amen. That's
what that is. You can never go away from that. I've been thinking about that a lot lately, you know, just how real this is and how you cannot get away from it. And, you know, how, you know, in the natural, the husband and wife, you know, make them vows, you know, till death do us part. And, but I was thinking about how this, you know, this day that we're living in, you know, we're not turning a corner today. You know, Jesus turned the corner his day.
It's finished.
There's a little bit of, you know, and Brother Bram turned the corner, but we're not turning the corner now. We're not trying to figure out doctrine. We're not getting anything new. It's all been revealed, you know, the full restoration and then brought him on the scene 100%.
Amen.
And, you know, after the wedding and after all that, you know, it can be kind of stressful. You might not even be too close during that, you know, husband and wife, even though they're ready to get hitched, they're worried about everything else. Make sure this is right. Do this on time. And wedding, you know, the rehearsal, the rehearsal dinner, you know, invitations and all this, you know. Do all that. We'll worry about being together later.
Yeah.
And but now we're together.
Amen.
Now we're united.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And now we're just walking and talking with our Lord, you know, every day of our life, you know, manifesting him with every heartbeat. You know, and there's still things that work out. You know, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We're still working things out. We'll forever be working things out.
Amen.
On this side.
Right.
until we get those other two realms changed. But, you know, you're united.
Amen.
You're one with him. You know, you've done major vows.
Amen.
You know, you said yes. He said yes.
Amen.
You know,
right.
That settled it, you know.
That's it.
You're together now.
Amen.
And,
amen.
And I'm thankful it's that way.
Yes.
He said he'd never leave, never forsake, you know.
That's what he said.
And but you know, then it's just getting to know each other.
Amen.
More and more and more. I've been married for 45 years. and we still more and more getting to know each other, because we change, you
Absolutely.
Know, and you know, just like a wife, she's not going to know everything about her husband when they first get married. You just, like Brother Moore says all the time, you don't even know how to love each other yet. You haven't been through nothing.
Amen.
You know, love comes after you've been through something.
Yes.
And it's tested and it's tried. And that's the same thing with the believer, you know, our walk. You know, we learn how to trust him.
Amen.
We learn how to have faith, you know. He proves himself to us that he truly isn't ever going to leave us or forsake us, you
that's
know.
Right.
We prove ourselves to him.
Amen.
We keep coming back to that word.
That's right.
And say, I'm sorry. Repentance.
Yeah.
I like what Brother Peterson said there Sunday. You know, repentance is different than apology.
Yeah.
An apology, you can apologize and not turn around.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
Repentance is you turn around. You make a change. So, you know, and when you're together like that, and, you know, there's no getting away from him, him getting away from me,
that's
you know.
Right.
You don't just butter something up, you know. You make it right. You work
that's
it
right.
out.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to go through it again. And I'm thankful it's like that. I'm thankful it's a day-by-day walk and a love affair.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people maybe want him for a Savior, but they don't want him for a Lord.
Right.
Amen.
And
that's right.
I think a lot of times a woman, even in the natural, she wants her husband for a Savior. That's why it might have a time limit often. You know, when they get tired of each other, they part ways. But, you know, when you want him for your Lord, you, like Brother Childers always said, you're in it for the goods.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Sister Elise, God bless you.
You know, I was thinking about identifying. I'm not just identifying. I'm happy to
Amen.
Identify. I'm so grateful to be identified with
yes.
you.
Yes.
You know, I know Fairborn gets a lot of bad rep, but I am so proud to be a member of Fairborn Community Tabernacle. You know, And I was thinking, you know, this morning I woke up, it's Wednesday, and I always want, what can I bring? What can I add? You know, but I don't want to pre-cook. I want it to be fresh. You know what I mean? I always want to be available.
Yes.
That's my prayer every single time I testify. I want to edify the body, you know? Amen. And I was thinking, you talk about identifying, and I have a young daughter who's starting to serve God. And I remember growing up, a very important song to me was, I am not ashamed of the gospel.
That's
you know, when I sing that, I had friends who would make fun of me for raising my hands. You know, I was like, thank God, you know, at that time, that's what it was for me. But I think about that song all the time. And it got me through, you know.
Amen.
And every step of my journey, God has always put something there to get me through. There has never been one step that I've faltered. He's made it so easy. And I know there's work and everything, but it's also easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a beautiful walk.
Yes.
You know, I've only been married for 16 years. But every single one of our anniversaries, I swear I love that man more. You know, and I like, how can I love him more than I do now? And then another one rolls by, and I'm like, well, guess what? I love you more. You know, and as much as I love you, get on my nerves, and I get on your nerves, but I still love you, and it's such a beautiful love. And I thank God for that because, you know, having that partnership in church and having, I mean, God all around me, it's beautiful. Because I have my parents to give me advice.
Beautiful. Yeah.
They don't just give me advice, they give me godly advice. You know,
right.
I have my husband at home, and I can go to him, and he can give me godly advice. And I talk to my kids about God. It's just, like you said, you put it around you and stuff. And when I first started all those years ago, I tried to read the Bible a little bit. It didn't make sense. It just didn't click. Well, I told you I've been reading it again. And it's like a whole new book.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, I understand what they're saying. And it never fails to amaze me how that these scriptures, they say something, and it feels kind of like vague. And then, you know, Brother Branham brings it, and he makes it so clear. And then the ministry brings it and brings it even clearer to the point where it's so simple. How do you not get it? But I understand you have to have an ear, and I thank God every day that I have the ear. And I'm looking so forward to hearing Brother James. Because, you know, this is the first time I was telling my kids, this is kind of a big service. It's his first one since he went through his ordeal.
Right.
And I know he went through a lot, and I am so grateful to get to hear him one more time and get to amen him one more time.
Amen. God bless you, sister. Let's,
yeah.
Testimony, God is good.
Amen.
He's, I identify with all the word that has been preached. I confess that I'm a believer, an overcomer, healed, and all the things that he says I am. And I feel so inspired that I'm going to volunteer AJ to sing a song. Well, I didn't just throw this on him, but I just want him, every now and then I need to be reminded that everything's going to be all right. Because you look at yourself sometimes, you say, boy, I'm a hot mess. But so I asked him, I didn't just throw this on him, I asked him to get this ready for me. So if he will sing that song, that I don't know what the scripture is, but it said that he that began a good work in you, he's going to finish it.
That's right.
You want to by yourself? You want to
sing? You can sing with me if you want. Whatever you feel.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right.
Amen. The praise.
Find it here. Bear with me. My eyes are a little tired.
Bless you.
There we go.
Sing.
He who began a good work in you faithful
completed in you. In you. In you.
Amen. Hear about this five for a minute, Isaiah? Yeah. Clearly, I haven't sung that in a while, so I apologize. I found it eventually. I was at work today, and something interesting happened. It's funny when, you know, something's preached and then it just something happens, or you experience something and it just is right in line with what happened Sunday or what was preached Sunday. And Brother Peterson hit on it. We hit on it during Bible study. So many people in this message get caught up on the man. They get caught up on Brother Branham, and you know, their growth died with Brother Branham. And I had a coworker today who, we were talking about traveling, and somehow got on the subject that he said he grew up in a cult. And I'm nosy, so I asked. And I said, what kind of cult did you grow up in? He said, oh, it was a non-denominational cult that was led by William Branham, who they thought was the prophet. I didn't say anything. I kept quiet. But I thought, you know, and then he talked a little bit more about it, but it was exactly what we talked about. They got caught up on the man. Right. They were looking at the flesh, the rules, the man, and they didn't move with the word, and it left them behind.
That's right.
And that's why they think it's a cult.
That's right.
And so I thought that was really cool, just to see what we preached in action immediately. And it made me glad to know that I move with the word, not the man. And I came into this thing late, and I'm almost grateful for it, because I didn't know the man before the word. The word came first.
Amen. You know, amen.
So that's just, I wanted to get that out.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
It reminds me of that song Brother Moore sings, that it's the word that flashed across the sea to mine.
That's right.
That he never saw the prophet, but he saw the word.
Right.
You know, Brother Don, you made me think of something. I am so glad. You know, a bride has to wait for the husband to ask them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if the husband doesn't ask you, then you can't be his bride.
Amen.
And I just praise God that he asked me.
Amen.
You know, he had asked me. You know, I couldn't do this on my own. He had to call me.
Amen.
And I just praise him that he called me. And, you know, Elise, that every Wednesday, every Sunday, I think about that. I think, what can I say? What can I do to be a blessing?
Right.
You know, and if I can't do anything else, I'll just stand up and say, this word is truth.
Yes.
I believe it. I believe what the ministry says here. It's changed my life.
Yes.
The revelation is the best thing that'll ever happen to you.
Yes. Amen.
You know, last night I was laying in bed and I was just thinking, just praying to God. You know, you do go through things. You know, your mind goes through things. And
sure.
Just that sweet fellowship. I just love it. That
Amen.
Where he just talks to you. And, you know, it has to be from the inside out.
Yes.
You know, because you can't work this up. Like Brother
right.
Childers says, you can't whistle through the graveyard.
No,
that won't get it. That won't hold it. But I just thank God. I thank God for the truth. I thank God for Fairborn. You know, you are right, Elise. We get a lot of negatives. And we're doing something right, because Satan is throwing rocks at us like crazy. All the time. And I just praise God for this truth. I don't have anything to say other than I identify with it. I believe it.
Amen.
I'm behind it. I've come too far. Sometimes I feel like I just started, been here a while.
Amen.
But, you know, it's just the same with a marriage. I'm closer to the dawn now than I've ever been before.
Amen.
You know, we're just one. And, and, you know, maybe when the kids were there, we were busy with kids. I don't know what happens. But, you know, and it's the same way with this. I don't know if when I retired, I had more time to just concentrate on put, you know, my thoughts on God. But I can tell you, that fire is hot right
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother John. And if the body can, just, you know, keep Beth in your thoughts and stuff. She got injured yesterday and slipped and fell and fractured her humerus bone. So we're here to get healing and whatever else we need. You know, and I said, ooh, we got a service coming up, so we know where to bring all these problems, all these issues, lay it right down here, and we can carry on and just worship the Lord.
Amen.
Let's sing song 109, Touching Jesus, and that'll be in the key of G. And that's really all that matters. That's right, sis. It's all that ever mattered.
Touching Jesus is all
that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. And there's only one way to touch it. You must believe.
Touching Jesus.
Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There is only
time.
Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There is only you must believe when you call on His name. It's all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. Oh, there's only one way to touch Him. You must believe when you call on His name.
Amen, amen. You can be seated. Brother Steve, you will be going first. Don't get too comfortable sitting down.
I'm glad to be here tonight. Pastor Moore has said tonight is my party, so he's told me to direct it how I want it to. So I thought I'd get up first and just say I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm looking forward to what Brother Steve's going to bring. That's a good friend of mine. We've been friends for years. So it's only right that you help me kick this thing off. You know, Brother Peterson said when he got up, he said he'd been preparing for weeks for his service. I've been preparing for months for my service. I was supposed to be preaching on June 7th when I went to the hospital. That's the day I was supposed to preach that night. And so when I was going to the hospital, I sent Jeremiah and Pastor Moore a text like, hey, got to go to the doctor right now. I probably won't be there tonight, but I'll see you guys tomorrow. And then little did I know, it'd be now that I'm seeing them, basically. But I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. You know, I appreciated the testimonies. They're always all for vindication. I talked to my mom today, and she was like, you know, I'm looking forward to tonight's service. And so I said, you know what I'm waiting on? We're all waiting on the same thing. Amen. You know, because the gift is really to get out of the way. You know, that's the gift. So I know Brother Steve's over there nervous and getting things together. But, you know, I was thinking that, you know, as I was getting ready, you know, for service, I thought, man, it's almost better to not know you're going to preach and just get up. Because you'll worry yourself for no reason. I mean, you're coming up here and God's going to present, God's going to take over. But all week you're thinking, oh, I got to say this. I got to read that. I got to look at this. I got to look at that. Comparing this, comparing that. Notes here, notes there, service here. Hey, God's going to take care of it. I don't care if I got a whole thing of notes. God can take it away and do whatever He wants to do. Brother Steve could have 400 scriptures and God only read one of them. But, you know, you make yourself nervous on things that don't matter. And I thought, we do that all the time. You know, I did that with the Army. I did that with basic training. I thought it was going to be this and that. And I worried myself up. And then you get there and you go, this ain't that bad. You know, you do all that stuff. And then, you know, you come here and you get under the anointing. And you go, man, why was I afraid of that? What was
That's making me feel good. I'm surrounded by brothers and sisters, people that are encouraging me. Maybe if I stumble over the word, somebody, Brother Lockett, will say, you must be born again. I'm like, that's right, and get right back on track. You know, so, yeah, I appreciate what we get here. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome up Brother Steve Belbo.
There you go, Brother Steve. You got it?
Okay.
I got it, Jay.
Thank you, sir.
Good to be here. When Isaiah was talking about those people over in China, I was thinking about, you know, you can take away all the paper, but you can't take away the Holy Ghost. So praise God for the Holy Ghost. You got to have it. You got to have it. I want to talk about a story that happened to my wife and I some years ago. I was fighting. There's a point to this story when I get done. I had a cold for about 3 days. And, you know, when you wake up in the morning, it's usually the worst. And she had good intentions, but she came with some tradition.
Well,
and she walked in the room and she goes, I'm sorry, you're puny. Well, apparently, in her family, the word puny is synonymous with being sick. But I had to inform her that puny, by definition, means you're weak and small. So I, she walked out, I thought she was just throwing me under the bus, you know, because not only am I sick, I'm sick because I'm weak and puny. So we had to have a discussion because I thought, surely that's not what she meant. So I got, you know, the moral of the story is you might come with your tradition and you might not get what you wanted to have happen. You might miss the mark, you know, because we all do that. We're all coming to church. Everybody comes with good intention. But the thing is, if you can't drop your tradition, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work for you. I mean, I could read Genesis 4, where Cain, he came with his tradition. But what happened is when God said, no, that's not what I want, he got a spirit, he got an attitude, and God told him, he said, you got to drop that, son. Because if you don't, there's sin at the door. You know, here's the thing. He couldn't get with the word. He couldn't repent. But a believer, a born again believer, Brother Branham said, will turn quickly to the word.
Amen.
You know, it's like the Ethiopian. Philip showed up. He's like, you know, how can I, you got to, I can read this, but without some kind of revealer, I'm lost. I need some help here. I need some help. So, it's all about your desire. Brother Deskins talked about that. Your desire is so important.
Yes,
and there's a scripture that Brother Moore uses quite a bit, and it's 1 Corinthians 12:3. And I'm going to read it here real quick. Therefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking of the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed.
Right.
And here's the part that Brother Moore will say all the time. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Now, you would think initially that there's all kinds of people that claim Jesus Christ as their Lord. But I was reading about, Brother Branham talked about this scripture, and he said, people are speaking after someone else. So when you're speaking after somebody else, you're kind of late to the party. You know, it's like down through the ages. If you're looking back and you might say you're a Methodist or if you're a Lutheran or whatever, you got a historical perspective.
That's right.
And you're missing him.
Amen.
If you can't say in this day that the word is made flesh, you'll be looking around it. You'll miss it. You'll miss him. You won't see him. Praise God. So outside of the Holy Ghost revealing it, you might say he's my Lord and Savior, but if you don't get him in flesh today, you done missed it, and you miss what the Holy Ghost is trying to reveal to you. which kind of made me think of something, a kind of a natural type. And so, some of you, I'm going to have to explain this, but hopefully some of you will get it. Back before they started putting electronic ignitions in cars, if you had to time it, you had to use a timing light. And for those of you who don't understand how a timing light works, is you hook it up to the number one cylinder, and what it does is when the distributor comes around and that number one cylinder spark fires, it works like a strobe light, and it flashes. And what that flash will make you do is, even though you've got timing marks, one's on the block and it's stationary, but the other one's on the flywheel. And what that flash will do, it'll force your eyes to focus on that moving mark. You'll see it. And when that lines up, and it's sparking when it's supposed to, your motor's running just right. And you don't. And once you time the number one cylinder, you don't have to time the rest. They just fall right in line. So what we need today is a spiritual Holy Ghost. Because this right here is that stationary mark. Amen. On that block. Right. It's a dead letter. But your day and its message is moving. Yeah. God's moving. Yeah. So what you need is the Holy Ghost. Amen. To enable you to see, right. See that, your day and its message, so it lines up. Amen. Okay? And when it lines up, you can run this thing from beginning to the end. Amen. It runs all the way through. And you get your first revelation. Yes. And it's just like that motor. An internal combustion motor is a series of explosions. Yes. And each one builds on the other, and it's what drives your car down the road. Amen. Spiritually, you get your first revelation, and each revelation beyond that drives you drive you in your born again life and your walk with Christ, driven right with that. Amen. I want to read one more scripture. We used to read this all the time. Brother Warren, he used to do an excellent job at it. I'll try to be half as good as he was. It's 1 Corinthians 13. And I used to read this in my youth, and I feel stupid, but you know when you don't have a verse, you just don't. And the word charity, because I grew up in that age where the Jerry Lewis telethons. Oh, yeah. And the word charity to me was kind of like that giving thing. You gave to something. So when I would read it, I didn't get much out of it. So I went to a church with this man right over here, a Nazarene church, for just a short period of time. And that's where they said, well, that charity, that means love. Right. And I thought, okay, the trouble was that the only love at that point I knew was a filial love. I didn't know that, but that's all I did. Right. And Nazarenes, they're not going to help you. Because I remember enough about their doctrine that... They agape love, their doctrine couldn't fit that. Because they had God up there giving you the Holy Ghost if you was a good guy. And if you was a bad old boy, if you had it, he'd take it away from you. So right there goes out eternal security. Predestination's gone. And to me, it's like the whole, even the I am God and I change not, that's gone too. With the, it's all gone. So I'm still reading Corinthians 13 and 1. And I'm still not getting it. So, it sounds silly, and it sounds, but it's so simple. Pastor here said, God is love. And things started to click, you know? And I'm like that little kid. I got to have God in skin. I'm sorry. I that's what I got to have. Without that, it's not for me. I'm sorry. It's not tangible. So when I wake up and I realize, like, Jesus Christ is my personal Savior and my Lord, I'm going to read this again. I hope if Brother Moore says I got it wrong, you fix me, Brother Moore, but I'm just going to do it. And you can fix it later if you have to. No, it's all lined up.
Though I speak with tongues and of men and angels, and I have not Christ, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, Brother Moore talked about some ministers out in the world Sunday night that sound like a tingling brass or cymbal. Amen. There's no Christ there. They're not helping anybody. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith, all faith, so that I may remove mountains and have not Christ, I am nothing. I thought about Balaam. He had a true gift.
Yes, he did.
And he sold it out.
Amen.
He sold it out for money.
That's right.
So if you've got a gift, the word's got to follow.
Amen.
And then you're doing something.
Amen.
Christ is the word, and that's what's got to follow. Christ has got to follow.
That's right.
Yes. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor,
right,
and though I give my body to be burned, I have not Christ. It profiteth me nothing. I was thinking about down through the ages when that red horse rider was riding through there. And those people gave their lives. And Brother Branham said they went down in victory. They had Christ.
Amen.
Now, we just had an anniversary here a few days ago, 9/11. And if you had talked to those men before they got on those planes, they were moved by their religious movement to do that. They gave their bodies to be burned, but all they did was kill a bunch of innocent people. There's no Christ in that at all. Christ suffereth long and is kind. Christ envieth not, Christ vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not his own. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? He had his own will, but he turned it down. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Remember the woman in the well? I accuse you not.
Right.
Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. He brought grace and truth. That's what he brought.
Yeah,
beareth all things. Did he not beareth all the sins of the world?
Yes,
on the Christ?
Did.
Yes, he did.
Amen.
Believeth all things. He believed everything.
Amen.
Hopeth all things. Yes, he
Amen.
Did. Endured all things. I just talked about that. Christ never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, and they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but that which is perfect has come, and that which is part has been done away with.
Amen.
Brother Jay, it's all yours. Hey man, we're having church, ain't we? Good kickoff to the party. I like that. Well, I'm looking forward to what God's got to say. He's given me a lot of vindication with Brother Steve's references and the testimony, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yes.
And then praise God, my wife made it here as well, so the hat's in the right place. Hat's in the right place. She made it from work from Cincinnati, so I appreciate her. So good looking out for that. So I'm ready to get started here. I'm a little nervous, which we all are all the time. You just think about coming to church and you want to be, edifying to the body. You got people that sacrifice a lot to get here. We're not suffering persecution from jail or anything like that, but your own flesh is putting you through enough to get here. You're tired, work, kids, blah, blah, blah. You got all this, et cetera. Everybody has it, So I can come here and rejoice, and I still went through the same thing you went through. You can come here and rejoice, and you went through the same thing I went through. We had to overcome ourselves to get here because it is a choice to serve God.
Amen.
It's a choice to identify with this thing. Like Sister Elise said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. That was a song that helped her. She had to physically do that, though. She had to make a choice to sing that song, to learn the words and push through. And, sometimes these hothouse Christians, they think everything's just going to be handed to them. It takes a push.
Amen.
That's what makes us different than everybody else. We have a push.
That's
They've
right.
never pushed over Fairborn.
Right.
That's why we're different. We're not, we don't take a back seat to anything.
We've been right for a long time, and we know it. And you know, it started off. It may have started off with one man, but it's not one man anymore. It's a many-membered body that's strong, that's powerful. You come in here, you might be hard-pressed to find out who the preacher is. Because you're going to see some strong individuals. You're going to see some brothers that get up and preach. You're going to see some sisters that get up and testify and say the word of God. You come in here, you might be confused. Well, they're all strong. You're right. We are all strong. We all been eating the same food. We all been going to the same gym. We all are strong. You know, so I thank God for that. You know, Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah have been speaking about identification. And, you know, when I go get blood work done, you know, every now and again, you got a phlebotomist that may not know how to get to the veins, and they just look for the one that's already given blood. They go, well, where did they stick you the last time? And I point it out, and that's the one they use every time. So now I just point to it. But so we're going to stay in that same vein of identification tonight. So that's the one that's giving some blood. Brother Jeremiah and Pastor Moore preached on it. It worked. I'm going to just stay right in there tonight. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, my title tonight would be Who Are You? You know, because if you think about this, you got to know who you are. Yeah, now, identifying with something makes no sense if you don't know who you are. You can't even claim that you know who you are if you don't know it. You know, Brother Kevin, he testified so excellently a couple of weeks ago. He said, you know, it's hard to tell somebody that you believe this thing and you don't know anything about it. Right. Don't tell me it'd be just as simple as somebody saying, yeah, I love the Browns, and you don't know any of the players on the team. Don't tell me you love the Browns then. You don't know anything about them. You don't even know the history. Don't tell me you love the Word of God and don't know anything. Right. Don't know one scripture. You can't remember one. Jesus wept. Let's just start. That's the shortest one you can start with. You don't know the book of Genesis starts off the Bible. You don't know the book of Revelations. We talk about them every service. You can't remember one thing. You're telling me you're strong? I don't know. I'm not even putting works on it, people. I'm just saying if you love something, you should know about it. You talk about a love affair. I know a lot about my wife. I learn more and more every day. If you come into this service more and more, you should know more and more about the Word of God every single service. I mean, you should be concerned about your brothers and sisters. I should know what Brother Steve is going through. I should know what Sister Kara is going through because I'm concerned about them. I identify with the body. You know, you identify with that sacrifice. So I praise God for this, you know, and I think, you know, I praise God for my time away because it helped the body. You know, I was looking at the services, and God used that opportunity to help the brothers identify more, help the bride identify more, showed you that prayer does work. You know, I got these young people in here, they see Uncle James, they say, prayer does work. Yeah. Lily knows she prayed for me. I love Lily. She prayed. Prayer does work. Yeah. Micah knows prayer works. Vegas knows prayer works. Levi knows prayer works. Why? They got to see it in manifestation. That's just a small thing that's going to help them along on their walk. They're going to get a little older and go, I know prayer works. I've seen it work one time before, and it's going to work again and work again. It's like that, like Brother Steve said, that combustion. I've had so many explosions now in my life, I know God's going to show up. I'm moving so quickly. You know, when you get something, you know, the laws of physics says objects in motion tend to stay in motion. I'm in motion now. I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I ain't tired yet. I'm so identified with this thing. When you see me, you see the Father. You can't even get to Christ without me. That's a bold statement. That's something a lot of people can't say. You can't even see the Father without seeing me. Right. It'll come, what did Brother Childers say? It'll come this way or it won't come at all. Right. See, and a lot of people put this on us and they go, well, Fairborn thinks it's got to come through Fairborn. No, I think you got to go through the Word of God the same way I went through the Word of God. It's going to be a revelation for this hour the same as it is for any other believer. You got to believe this message of the hour. Amen. It's not enough to believe Paul. It's not enough to believe Irenaeus. It's not even enough to believe Branham. You had to continue on in this thing because my God is not stagnant. Matter of fact, he said, don't even bring over from yesterday. I'll serve you this day your daily bread. Yeah. So what are you identifying with now? Who are you? I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. Yes, that means I know all things. That means I see all things. That means he reveals all things to me. Oh, my. That's a blessing to know. You know, see, this world is crazy. And Brother Peterson said it best. He said, you know, you're surrounded by so much unbelief, you don't even know how it affects you. You know, and Brother Steve, you said it right. You said when people are speaking secondary or third party, they don't even have that right power. And that ties into a scripture I'm going to read here, but I thought, you know, you can identify and call yourself whatever you want. Right. You know, we see that in the world today. Yeah. And, you know, it's natural to life. You know, you can claim that if you're a guy and you claim you're a woman, but you can't make a baby. I don't care what you claim. You can be a man and say, you can be a woman and say, I claim to be a man, but you can't produce seed. I don't care what you say. You can claim something, but the quote is the proof is in the pudding. But if you read the whole quote, it goes like the proof in the pudding is in the taste. Right. That's the whole quote. When you say you believe the whole word of God, that means you take all the word of God. I don't just take a little bit of it. I don't take just the parts that I like. I don't just take predestination. I don't take just justification. I don't take no condemnation. I take the whole word. When it hits me, I take it. When it lifts me up, I take it. I identify with the whole word of God. That's what makes me the bride of Jesus Christ, is that me and him are now one. See, that all those things tie together. Now let's go over to the book of Acts, chapter 19. Verse 11 through 17, we'll read this here. Give you a little bit of time to get to it. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Before I continue reading, let's remember Sister Sway as well. You know, she's got her surgery today, and remember her and Brother Kevin as they go through that. God bless them. Then verse 13, it says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. That's third hand. Second hand. They're not even claiming to be Paul. They're not claiming to be Jesus. They're saying, we're going to exorcise you through Jesus who Paul knows. You can't get to something like that. You're playing a game of telephone. You don't know. You don't even know what's really going on there. See, what's happened here is, and that term itinerant is somebody that travels. So that's somebody almost like an evangelist, somebody that travels around. So these Jewish guys would travel around and exorcise demons. And when they saw that it was working for Jesus and Paul, they were like, here's what we'll do. When we see somebody with these big demons, we'll reference them. It doesn't make no sense to reference. You got to have God in flesh. Don't reference God. God needs to be there. Don't reference Brother Branham. He needs to be here. Don't reference Brother Childers. He needs to be here. Don't reference that you go to the church. You need to be here. Don't reference a service. You need to be in it. Because without you being physically in it, you don't have it. I can't claim that Jesus is here, because in this hour, Jesus needs to be in here. It's not some God up here floating around. I'm not here for whistling in the wind. I'm not here to see God off in the distance. If God is not in flesh in me, then I don't have God. Because it takes you to see God for you to get God. But that's the process. I don't want to just see God. I need God to be in here. I need to wake up to the fact that I have a new birth. And what is that birth inside of me? God's own life. See, that's a bit different. So let's keep on reading here. So verse 13, it says, we exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva and the Jewish chief priests who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? Who are you? You know, a lot of people go out here and they claim all things work together. For who? For who? Who do they all work together for? They work for those that are called. They work for the elect. They work for the bride. They work for me. See, Jesus they know. Paul they know. James they know. You got to have it for yourself. They got to look and say, Isaiah I know. Don I know. Courtney I know. Dwayne I know. You got to have this for yourself. It's not enough just to reference the ministry. It's not enough just to reference Brother Branham. It's not enough to reference the Bible. This thing has to be real in you. You got to know for yourself. Oh, my, my. Then the man whom the evil spirit was left on them. See, that evil spirit overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Yeah, mess around and find out. Messing with those evil demons. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Because they saw what it really did. They saw Jesus' full power on display. That he's real. My God is real. See, I don't serve a fake God. I'm not here to play games. I'm not here for any other reason but to hear the word of God. It doesn't matter if it hurts your feelings. I don't care about your feelings. Because your feelings don't matter. Just like Brother Steve talked about the Nazarene church, how, you know, God could take something away from you, get it and lose it. That's something that can change. The word of God is the same. Amen. My feelings go up and down throughout the service. My feelings go up and down all the time. I can't lean on my feelings. My feelings have changed from you from one day to the next. Maybe you bring me a cold glass of water and I love you. You bring me a warm glass of water and I hate it. That's my feelings. I could be in church and have those feelings. That don't matter. But the word of God, when it comes across my path, it doesn't matter what I'm feeling, what I'm going through, what I've dealt with. You just sprinkle a little bit of word on me, and I immediately wake up to who I already am. See, I love that I'm waking up to who I already am. You're not making me something new. This is already inside of me from before the foundation of the world. I'm waking up to the fact that I've always been a son and daughter of God. See, the church world will have you trying to get this revelation, trying to get salvation. God gave it to me. God's the only revealer. You know, you come in here and you go, well, I need to get this more. I need to get that more. No, you don't need to get anything else. If you understand the words that I'm saying and you agree with them, you have a new birth. Because otherwise, you wouldn't be able to agree with me. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to have this revelation. Because there's people that hear the word of God and they cannot agree no matter what. Right. Cain had simple instructions, Brother Steve. God told him what to do. He said, if you give the sacrifice that your brother gave, just do that. You don't even have to believe me. You don't even have to trust me. You don't even have to like it. Just do what Abel did, and I'm obligated. Obligated to bless you. Amen. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. I can come in here and say, oh my goodness, if you're having struggles in your marriage, you have struggles in your life, just get to the house. Just get there. I don't care how you get there. Get there. If you got to sit in the back, sit in the back. If you got to dress a certain way, do whatever you got to do. It's going to help. A non-believer will go, I can't do it. I can't do it. This, the white-black issue is too much in there. They talk about politics too much in there. They tell me that a man needs to be a man in there. They tell me that a woman needs to be a woman in there. I can't hear the word of God for that. I'm sitting there thinking, when did they talk about that? I've never heard politics in here because I keep listening to the word. Right. I'm not here for it. No. I'm not here to see if you wore a dressed up shirt. Right. I'm not here to see if you had a suit on. I don't care if you wear a dress. And see, when I say those kind of things, it hurts some people's feelings. It does. It hurts some people's feelings because they go, well, you don't care. No, I care about what matters. Right. I'm an ER doc. I'm trying to keep you alive. I might have to cut your shirt to get to where I need to get to. I might have to rip your pants to get to that blood that I'm getting to stop up. I got much bigger issues to face here, bub, than earrings and makeup. I'm trying to get you out of here. Once we get raptured, all that other stuff will take care of itself. Brother Branham even said there'll be no bob hair women in heaven, so I'm not worried about your haircut so much. Let me get some word in you. God will fix all that. How can you say that, Brother Jay? Because they did it to me. He did it to me. I was the worst among you. And God lifted me up. He makes the high low and the low high, so we're all on even playing field. You may have came in here white as pristine snow, and God had to humble you down. You may have come in here from the gutter like me, and God had to lift you up. But guess what? We're on the same level. Oh, my. We're all the bride of Jesus Christ. That's who we identify with. I'm like Brother Peterson. I brought my amens with me. Say amen. 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 I brought my amens with me. I came loaded with believers. I'm not afraid of no devil. Oh, my. I love this thing. I love that it's just truth. When you can say that you're the bride of Jesus Christ, that you're the final voice of the final age, that you're going to be in the rapture, do you know how many people you've knocked off? They can't say that to the bride of Jesus Christ because they don't even know that Jesus needed a bride. They think Jesus had it all by himself. They skip over the pact that says that greater works will you do. Right. How's it going to be greater? Is it just one more person that comes? No, it's greater because it's going to be many members. There's going to be a many member bride. That's this bride. Where the carcass is, there's where the eagles be gathered together. See, if you don't take the whole word, you got to start cutting up the Bible. Then you get to the point where you got to make the Bible neutral, gender neutral, because you don't want it to be man and female. Then you got to get to the point where you got to just start cutting out things that hurt you. You might as well not even have the Bible if you're going to edit it that much. The Bible needs no amendments. It's not the Constitution. It's the Word of God, and it's what it is. It was wrote perfect. It needs no help. Even the words that they put in there, that he sets you free. See, I love it like this. And you know, the other part about it is when you know you're the bride, that takes a revelation. No, flesh and blood couldn't reveal that to you. God himself had to reveal that to you. When I say I'm the final voice of the final age, that means I know the timing. Brother Steve, you got to know the timing if you know you're the last one. That means you know who the first one was. That means you know what the middle was. That means you know you're the last one. Yeah. That means you know the timing of things. If I know this is the end, that means I knew what the beginning was.
Right.
That means I knew what the beginning, the middle was. I know that I'm the final voice. Means I'm not looking for another one.
Right.
I'm not looking for another messenger. I'm not out here searching for another prophet. I'm not looking for some other shining wonders. I have what's needed to get out of here. After me, there'll be nobody else.
That's right.
I know that God moves from here and goes over to the 144,000.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for the 144,000. When I get off the scene, that's when he goes and gets them.
That's right. That's right.
See, to know that you're going into rapture, that takes another. You see how we're building on these revelations?
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. You talk about combustion.
Right.
Being able to say that you're going into rapture with such a surety that somebody can't take this away from you.
Yeah.
I don't care how good I am. I'm going into rapture. On the inverse of that, I don't care how bad I am. I'm going into rapture. You know, Brother Peterson has some terms. He said, docile. I could be soft and weak and meek and pudgy and whatever. What was the term, Brother Steve? Puny. I can be puny or I can be flamboyant. I'm going either way. I can be docile or flamboyant, and I'm going in a rapture. Why? Because it's not on my flesh. My flesh ain't going. I can know 5,000 words or 2 words. I'm going in the rapture. That's what I do know. Oh, Brother Jay, do you know all the scriptures? I don't have to. He said, I just want you to believe. I believe I'm going.
Amen.
That's it. That's my requirement.
Amen.
See, I don't put all this rules and doctrines on. That's what lets me get excited about the rapture even more, because, you know, the rapture is going to take, what, 30, 40 days, something like that? And I think about it as like, I think about it like the 4-minute mile. Sister Elise is a runner, so I always like referencing these stories. But before 1954, nobody had ever ran a 4-minute mile. It was, they thought it was scientifically impossible. They thought if you ran a 4-minute mile, you would die. You would die. That's, they just thought it was like, if you ran that fast, you're going to die. Then some guy in 1954, Roger, he ran a 3-minute, 59-second mile. Shocked the world. Once it happened, though, people saw it was possible. 1,700 people have done it since then. And now it's a measuring stick of a standard run. For some countries, they're like, well, if you're going to run a marathon, you probably need to run a 4-minute mile to get to this time. It's not looked at as impossible anymore. That's how I'm thinking about the rapture. Once you see me go through that wall, it's going to be a little bit easier for you to want to go through it too. Once you see my loved ones get up, it's going to be a little bit easier for you to do. That's probably why it's going to take 30 to 40 years. I'm putting my own thinking on it, but I'm looking at it and saying, once you see it happen as a believer, because I can't help but to believe, it's just another revelation. It's just once I see it, just like when I see my name in the book. When I read the Bible, it's a new Bible. Now that I see myself in there, oh, it's easy for me to pick up things now.
Right.
It's easy for me to read the verses now and see. I can see myself in there.
Right.
That's how I think about that rapture there. Oh, my. Let's get down here and keep going through. Because I don't really like to over-spiritualize things. Because I've seen that as a downfall for a lot of people. I've been in this message for a long time. You know, Brother Peterson said he was 52 years. God bless that man. 52 years, that's a long time to be serving God. And for somebody to do anything, so 52, you know, a prison sentence for a life sentence is 20 years. So that man's done 2.5 life sentences serving God, you know. But I look at that and I go, you know, praise God for somebody with that type of desire to serve God. And the other part about it, the man wants to fellowship with us. How would I have fault with that? That's a rare breed in itself. You love God and you want a fellowship? I don't even care what you're preaching. I really don't. Now, I thank God that the man's a believer, but it wouldn't have mattered. He could have preached the Baptist. He wants a fellowship with us? Come on now. That's the right spirit, what Brother Branham said. He said, I'd rather have you the right spirit in the wrong doctrine than the wrong spirit. I mean, than the right spirit in the wrong doctrine. Or I flipped around there. Sorry. Yeah, right doctrine, wrong spirit. Yeah, I'd rather have that. I'd rather deal with somebody that has the right spirit. That brother has the right spirit.
Amen.
He came here in love and wants to help us.
Right.
Praise God for that.
Yes.
I praise God I knew the answer to the test too.
Yeah.
I praise God I've been right for a long time.
Amen.
You know, when you're going through and the teacher's checking the test and she's doing a self-check, you go through and you ain't got no marks on there, you start feeling a little better. I'm like,
yeah.
Hey, I knew that one. I knew that one. I knew that. Okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
You can come around and check my paper if you want to. You know, because you think about that, and Pastor Moore even talked about different things with discernment. Sometimes it scares people, and I've been here before where people had the wrong discernment. And they'll say, you know, before the nightfall, you'll die or get a headache or get $1 million or whatever they want to make up at the time.
That's right.
And then it doesn't come to pass. And then you're like, man, that was wrong discernment. But during that time period, when the discernment's going around, if you don't know you got the goods,
You can get a little nervous because you're like, well, maybe they do got more God than I got. But I know I got it. I'm like that church in North Carolina. I got it. I got it. I know I got it. You can test me on any day. I can be laying down in a hospital, standing up in church. I know I got it. I got it. I got it. All you got to do is sprinkle a little bit of word and I'll wake right up and go, oh, I know what the truth is. Oh, I can hear the spirit of error. I know where that is because I got the Holy Spirit that leads and guides me into all truth. All truth. I don't have partial truth anymore. I'm no longer like a child that spoke that sees in darkness and groping around. I speak like a man now. I'm fully matured. It's no longer a glass that's darkened. It's full clear now. It's full transparency. I see the whole picture of God right now. I even know who's getting up. Not only do I know I'm getting up, I know who else is getting up with me. See, I'm not serving God alone. Amen. My.
Amen.
I love it like that. And like I said, you know, because when I was in the hospital, I had a couple of different times where I took some kind of pain medicine and make you like just pass out. You wouldn't go to sleep. You just pass out. And I had these terrible dreams. And I'd get up and I was telling my mom, and I think I told Ms. Courtney this as well. I was like, you know, because I was really close to death a couple of times. And, you know, one of those things, you know, some people, some Christians, they'll go through that and then they'll make up a story. I'm just telling you what I know. I've been in this for over 30 years. I've seen that happen. You'll go through a bad situation and they'll make up a story to over-spiritualize it. You know, God was in there and I could feel him. I didn't feel nothing. I was knocked out and I'd had terrible dreams. And I thought, if that was hell, that's what it probably would feel like. But God didn't reveal to me that I was in hell. God didn't know. What was hell to me was being there and having to not be able to get to church. Not be able to fellowship with you personally. Not be able to fellowship with the body of the believers. I'd look at the tapes of services, and sometimes my hands would be shaking, and I'd be looking at the services on the phone and just trying to get a little bit of it. And I was like, now this is terrible. That's the hard part. The dream I can wake up from or whatever, take it or leave it, doesn't matter. But that was the hard part. Not being able to serve God like you want to. Be as free as you want to. Wave your hands when you want to. Scream when you want to. Jump when you want to. Praise God how you want to. Surrounded by believers, that was the hard part. Amen. But now I'm in here now. Why would I want to take down now? Why would I want to be reminded about the bad time now? I praise God for what I got now. I don't have to over-spiritualize it. It's real. Yes. It's real. I don't have to. You know what? God vindicates his word by bringing it to pass.
Right.
By bringing it to pass. You prayed that I'd be up here preaching again. Guess what? Here I am. Amen. Uncle James is home. I'm back at my post of duty. I can do the job now. That's what I pray for. I'm just increasing my faith every little step till I get out of here. But it's real. I don't have to over-spiritualize it. You don't have to hear a whisper in the wind and say, I thought I heard Brother James at the service. Oh, I thought that'd be a song he'd sing. No, I'm here right now. That's how God is. He's here right now. Don't over-spiritualize it and whisper in the wind. I want to see God with skin on him. I don't want to hear about God. I don't want you to presume that God was there. I want to see him for myself. That's who I am. I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. Even Brother Branham said, he said, if you got a bride and you never produce her, I got a right to doubt it.
Yes.
If Jesus is really my husband, I should be able to produce him on the scene at any time I need to.
Yes.
I don't ask God. I tell God. Now, and the Bible says you have not because you ask not.
Right.
Now, that's a request. But he hears me. There's people that he don't hear at all.
Right.
There's people that he says, I never knew you.
Right.
Get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I'm not going to the white throne judgment to be judged. I'm not even fearing the judgment. I'm on the other side of the courtroom. I'm sitting there, I'm doing the judging. They pull up the tape and say, what did you do for Brother Jay? Let's roll the tape. Did you help him out along the way? Because when you did it unto the least of these, wait, who did you do it to? You did it unto me. See? My. We serve a real God. You got to know who you are, though, or you don't get those benefits. You got to know. You got to identify with God. And the way God identifies with you is he gives you that revelation. That's his way of showing you that it's real. So if you can pick this up, that's a revelation. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't over-spiritualize it. If you understand what I'm saying, you got it. Don't put anything else on there. Oh, I got to quote this. Oh, I wish I could say it like that. I wish I could be a typologist like Brother Steve. I wish I could. No. Who told you that? That's a tradition. That's a lie. Because of your traditions, you've made the word of God in none effect. Go ahead and just drop them. Leave them here at the door and pick up the word of God. It says if you can understand the words that he's saying, then you got it. Oh, I got scriptures that back it up. Even Jesus, my Lord, said, why can't you understand the words that I'm saying? He said, I'm making it as plain as possible. Why can't you understand me? Right. Oh, it's because I have no part in you. Right. You are of your father, the devil. Yes. So if you've got a part in you, you're not of your father. They're not of the devil. Yes. You're of God. Yes. You understand. Yes, let's go over here and read one quote, and I'll get out of your way. This is in Crisis, the Mystery of God Revealed, 1963. We'll start at paragraph 238. To me, it's just the same as 1 Corinthians. About chapter 13, we read it a lot. Pastor Moore references a lot, but I love it. Right. Amen. That's first paragraph 238, and you'll see when we get down to it. It says, Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe unto all the world, into every age. Oh, so there's multiple ages. I like to hear that. Some people don't believe that there's multiple ages. Casting out devils, speaking with tongues, and all these great manifestations of gifts that would follow that. They shall, not they may be, they ought to, they will, and the heavens and earth will pass away, but his word won't. So it's Christ expressing himself in the individual, whether he's intellectual or whether he don't know his ABCs. Half the apostles didn't know it, that's right, but they knowed Christ. They've never taken heed to Peter and John, knowing that they had been out of some seminary. They said they taken heed and noticed that they had been with Christ. When they healed the lame man, see at the gate, they know that they had been with Christ. They saw those signs that followed them. Now here's the quote that we're getting into. It says, the new birth is Christ. It's a revelation. Brother Branham's vindicating what I'm saying. God has revealed to you this great mystery. And that's a new birth. I'll read that again for those of hard of hearing in the back. The new birth is Christ. Is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery. And that's a new birth. Don't put anything else on it. That's a new birth. God revealed to you this mystery. That's a new birth. You understand your day in this message is a new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get that group together? Oh, not just one person with a new birth, not just two, a group of people. What are you going to do when you get that group together where the revelation is in perfect harmony? And God expressing it through his word by the same actions and the same things he did, making the word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position, and it will one day. That day is today. This scripture is fulfilled before your very eyes. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. That's all we're waiting for. I know who I am. I know what I'm identified with. I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. And now the rapture can go. Brother Branham even said, I don't see one scripture left to fulfill for the rapture to go. I don't have another work I need to do. I don't got a hospital I need to build. I don't got a soul I need to save. I don't got anybody I need to go get. Even the church, see? I say this and I'm going to sit down. In there, the people will say, oh, I got to go get this person. I got to go get it. I ain't got to go get nobody. God said, oh. Yes. Oh. Yes. That the Father have given. Will come. Noah didn't go walking around getting animals. He didn't go herd the elephants, get the cheetahs, get the lions. He said, I'll send them in two by two. Hold the door. All that the Father hath given me will come. I don't care where I'm at, they will come. I'm not going out searching for them. I don't have to make sure I'm on extra good behavior when I walk through Kroger's. He'll make it happen. He'll make it happen. Oh, you know what? I hated having to drive around Kroger's in a cart. I had to do that a couple times. But God had put me in that position to make sure all the people that needed to come would come. He'll get it set up. He'll set up the parameters. He'll do it. I didn't have to work up to it. Matter of fact, he had to take me down to make sure I got in that cart. He can do it. He's big enough to do the job. He'll make it whatever he needs to make it to get the job done. You just need to know who you are and stand on that identification. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. See, I love it like that because it's simple. You know, there was this movie, this guy, he was a spy or whatever, and he was saving this lady's life, and he was telling her, he's like, when you're with me, things are going good. Without me, not so good. Amen. That's how I feel about every service. Yeah. With me, up here. Amen. Without me, I don't know. Uh-huh. That's how you got to feel about it for yourself. Uh-huh. Sister Elise has got to go, when I'm there, oh, they're going to have good service. Without me, not sure. Why? Because you're bringing it. You're bringing the amens. You're bringing this. Even Brother Peterson said, be surprised what you did if you get in there and start pushing that pastor. Start saying amen a little louder. You'd be surprised what God can do. I bring it every time.
There's not a service I've come in here and not expected for God to move. I expect him to move. He expects me to move. And in that, we're in perfect harmony. I come in here sincere. If God wants a song, I'm going to sing a song. If God wants me to preach, I'm going to preach. I stay instant, in season, and out of season. I bear good fruit all the time. That's how you're going to know. You're going to bear the fruits of it. See, there's people, like I said, you know, you can say you're a woman, but you got to be able to bear that fruit. You got to be able to prove it. I can prove it. You squeeze me, you'll see the word coming out every time. Matter of fact, I'll share with you guys this one little story, and I'm going to sit down and give it to you, Pastor Moore. I was going through some things, and my memory was crazy, really terrible. I couldn't remember anything. I couldn't remember my kids' names, couldn't remember my name, couldn't remember my birthday. It was bad. And I knew I was saying the wrong answers to the doctors. That makes it even worse, because you're like, oh my gosh, I can't. It's almost like a stroke. You know you're saying the wrong answers, but you can't fix them. And they said, what's your address? 1744 Superior, baby. That's how I knew that one. Yeah, squeeze me as much as you want. Let the ammonia levels go as high as they need to get. I know where my home is. I know where I'm from. I know that for at least, that's the only thing I know. That's the one thing that stayed constant. When I come in and out of consciousness, I say, I know I'm a believer. I know I'm one of them. I can't wait to get back to the house. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. He's back. You have to be seated. He's back. You know, sometimes you got to go through things to show the devil what side you're on. And you're right. You go through things and you learn a lot. You give opportunities to people. People do what they do because whatever reason, God's got that in them. But the thing is, you got to know this for yourself. You got to know why you're here. You got to know your job. You got to know what you're about. I mean, it's not about what I can get or what you can get out of this world. It's not even about my happiness or yours. It's about God, I'm here. You've shown me that I'm a part of you. I know who I am. So I am here to do thy will, O God. Now, you're not here to tell God what you want to do. Because, see, a lot of times we want to pick our jobs. You know, we want to pick what part of the program we want to do. I know. I've done it myself. Lord, I don't want to do this, but I'll do that. Lord, oh, Lord, I believe your word, but I don't want to believe this part. Because if I believe this part, that's going to require this of me. But, Lord, no. You got to know who you are. And when you know who you are, you're still totally out. Yep. You're not worrying about trying to put on for the world. You're about your Father's business. Everything you do is about your Father's business. Like I said to Clarice when we married, I said, turn around, look. She's like, what? I said, everything in here belongs to God. Right. Everything. If he wants to let us have something, we'll have it. Isn't that odd? I mean, that was from day one. That's when we first got married. First day. When we got back to the house, it's like, whatever God wants to let us have, we'll have. Whatever God wants to take from here, he'll take from here. It's whatever he wants to use, it belongs to him. We are only borrowers of what God blesses us with. And when you realize who you are and realize you belong to God, that gets you off your high horse about this is mine. This belongs to me. This is my right. Because, you know, when you start hollering about your rights, you're in Laodicea. You don't know who you are. You think you've got some rights. You know what? When you come to Jesus Christ, you lose all your rights. Ain't no right. He's right. He's right. That's all we got. So you got to know who you are. And when you know who you are, nothing else will deter you from doing the job that you ordained to do. If it means going by way of the hospital, you'll go there. If it means go by way of a job where you got to work and do something, you'll go there. If it means going moving into a neighborhood where you don't really want to go, but God somehow made you in that house, and you're like, well, I'm here now. So, you know, God, you're going to use it for your glory. And that's the way God uses us. But you got to know who you are.
Because you know what they're going to get out of you? They're going to get out of you what Brother Steve said. They're going to get charity. They're going to get God. They're going to run face to face into God. But you got to know who you are. It ain't even enough that just God knows. You know, I was thinking about when Jay was talking about it. I said, you know what? Not only do the devil have to know who you are, but you have to know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, you might be 100% a son of God, but you'll be whipped up by the devil all day long. He'll whip all over you, making you think you're not a son. He'll treat you like a stepchild. He'll beat you, knock you around, and as long as you let him, he will do it. He's had 2,000 years, so don't think he's going to give up on you. He'll knock you around and tell you all his lies, and as long as you keep believing him, as long as you keep putting up with him, as long as you let him do it, he'll do it. But the day you realize who you are, and you know for a fact who you are, that God has revealed himself to you personally, and if God ever reveals himself to you, you're always his. So when you realize that, let come what may. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter whether I have it or not, whether I get it or not, whether I get it or lose it. When I lost jobs, I didn't even feel the bump. You said, well, didn't you get upset? No, I was surprised the devil got that one in, but it wasn't even the devil because it all worked together for my good. It didn't work for their good. You know, we had a $1 million company and it lasted about a year after I left. They went through $1 million quick. But that's okay. You know, God got what he wanted done and then moved on to somewhere else. I always remember when I was leaving the factory at Shopsmith, and I was the only light in that factory. And I knew I was moving to a new department. I was going up and work on computers. I was going to be a third shift operator. And leaving that department, I knew the light of God. That's how real this is. The light of God was moving out of that area. And having been back, the light of God has left that place and never did come back. That's how you got to realize who you are. You are the only eternal life that the people you work with will ever get a hand on. And you should be praying that they treat you right. Because you're holding the key to their destination. How they treat you will determine their eternal destination. So you need to know who you are. Because when you walk into work, you're not just walking into work. God checked in that day. God moved in there. God's walking aisles. God's looking around, seeing who's going to do something for him. God's sticking his feet out. He ain't worried about how good or how bad you are. He's giving them an opportunity. You got to know who you are, though. I know who I am. Do you know who you are? Is charity living in you? Is God living in you? The life that I now live is not mine, but it's Christ that liveth in me. Come on, musicians. I enjoyed it, brothers. It's a good night. You know, Steve is right. He ain't lying to y'all. He had my old white truck, and we had to change the engine. We had to tear that thing all the way down. And Steve's smart. Him and Danny, his brother, between those two, we can build anything. They took my truck apart and had it all over my driveway. Every piece. We got all the way down to the block. And then we had to I could take it apart. I could do that part. But then Steve and Danny start putting things back together. And when we got to the timing belt, Steve let me see it. He explained it to me. He showed it to me, and I saw it, the little line. I saw it around the, I saw that. So he ain't lying to you. That's how it works. And I'm glad that once you get that first revelation, every revelation that you get from your new birth on, gotta line up. Right. It'll dovetail together. It'll be 1-2-1-2-1-2. That car will hum down the road then, Steve. Now, if I did it without the guide, It wouldn't have hummed. It wouldn't have even. I always have leftover parts. Well, thank God there's a man here who can put things together. And when God puts your life together, you'll have that timing light just right. And then everything in your life align right up with that revelation. That's the way it works. All is well. We have heard the message shalom. And all is well in the key of G. Don't forget the announcements. Remember Sway. Pray for her as she recovers. Continue to remember the Earlys. Continue to remember Tina and her family. And there's just a lot of needs. Continue to remember Jay. He's still, he might preach like he's 100%, but he's still, just wait till he's 100%. If he beat the devil like that and he's not 100%, just wait till you get 100%. The devil ain't going. Just remember the body, John and Dawn, different ones, and we go through things. You know, sometimes we pray for somebody, and then we see them, we think it's done. Oh, no, keep praying. Don't forget Sister King. She's here, but you say, well, I prayed for her. She's good. No, she needs prayer all the time. Yes. If you don't have nobody else to pray for, remember her. But in the meantime, all is well. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your situation is, no matter what the devil throws at you, because you know who you are, all is well. Amen. All is well. Yes, all is well.
Yes, all.